Scripture reading this morning, we find in the Gospel according to John, and we read from there 22 through 37. As we hope to consider the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, to see that in perspective of bread, not just with a small b, but with a large, a capital B, the Lord Jesus. So verse 22, John 6, verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, albeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said to you, that you also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. As far the word of God to us this morning. Dear congregation, we have considered the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Remember, children, what they were like, the first three petitions? The first one, Hallowed be thy name. Second, Thy will be done. Third, Thy kingdom come. The first three all pertain to how we should approach God as our Father. All focus on the Lord. That's the first three petitions. The last three all deal with our duty toward Him. What we're called to do. Filling our needs. And so that's interesting. So the first is on the duties toward God. Second is on our needs. And the interesting thing is, I find it every time remarkable, and I'm sure you do too, in the order these things come. You would think that the forgiveness of sins and to be delivered from evil is more important than eating bread. And yet for some reason, the Lord has us pray first. Give us this day our daily bread. It's quite striking, isn't it? Think about it. It's a wonderful order that shows God's care for us. his fatherly care, but also his sympathizing care through Christ, who knew what it was to be hungry at times, who also knew that if he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't be able to function. So you couldn't even do all these other important great things if you would not have the physical strength. So really that fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, is a wonderful bridge to our duties. God knows our weakness, our frailty. So I would like to consider that with God's help with you this morning. It's Matthew 6 verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, but then I want to do that in the perspective of John 6, what we just read. I'll just read verse 32 right now. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, it's like an oath, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And then the catechism, as we consider Lord's Day 50, you can find it in back of your Psalter, page 86. It's only one question. Question 125. What is the fourth petition? And the answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing, and that therefore we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. That's actually, as it were, rewording that prayer, giving it a little more expression, that answer. It's like a prayer. So our theme is praying daily for our fatherly provision. Praying daily for our fatherly provision. So first, do it expectantly. Second, diligently. And then third, humbly. Expectant, diligent, and humble. So first and expectantly, this petition not only expresses our great need for food, for bread, but also it expresses God's fatherly goodness and care for us. That's what the catechism, how it starts, right? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, in other words, Lord, our Father, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. The only fountain of all good. So this is really about who God is. He's called the only fountain of all good. It's about his character, his essence, his being. God not only sees our need, but he delights to fulfill it. To provide, you know the word provide, I've said it before, right? Provide, providere, before seen. God not only sees our need, but he also sees to it that we get it. It's his delight. He delights to do that. We saw that already in Lord's Day 49. That his will is only good. Always good. His good will is the same as his good pleasure. That's what the angel's saying. Good will toward men. Good pleasure toward men. That's why the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 1, calls God an overflowing fountain of all good. What a wonder that is, and it is overflowing of all good. For people that are all bad, to consider that. No matter how well we live, no matter how advanced we may be in grace, our soul is like a fountain of sin. But there's a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness in the blood of Jesus. An overflowing fountain of evil met with an overflowing fountain of all good. If we turn to him in faith and repentance, that flowing fountain of all good far exceeds the overflowing fountain of all evil that's within us. That's why we pray, when we pray this prayer, we say, be pleased to provide us. We know that it is His pleasure. Good pleasure. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That we thereby may acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. Not only to know, but also acknowledge. And the word acknowledge is also the word know. Not only that we may know it, but make it known. Back to Him and to each other. Acknowledge Him to be the only fountain of all good. God gives abundantly to all people throughout the world. Everyone who ate this morning received it as a gift from God. Paul said it even to the Athenians in Acts 17. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. But though He does it to all, He does it particularly for His people and for the sake of His people. His own people. That's His will. That's His desire. That we come to Him daily as children come to their father without fear. Children, if you have been behaving well, you have no fear for your father. You come to Him. Of course, when you do not behave well, when you've been bad, you come to your dad a little different. Very different. So, but when we confess our sins and we come as a child that is forgiven to God as our father, then we may know Him that He is already that overflowing fountain of all good. We don't have to persuade Him. We need but ask and receive, but He also wants us to give thanks. And you see, that's what we did this week. I trust. We had a special day of thanksgiving. Many people have a day of thanksgiving, but to whom? And you see, it is not just having one day a year that we have a Thanksgiving day. But really every day is and should be a day of giving thanks. That we would acknowledge God to be the giver of all these good gifts we have. Even the trials that sometimes we must endure because we have sinned. We have no rights in ourselves. So it should be every time amazing grace for every good thing that we didn't deserve. We so quickly take things for granted, and we sometimes even go further than that. We think we're entitled. And yet we make pray, give us this day our daily bread. You would think that Jesus says that we should pray to the Father, give us this day thy daily bread. No, Jesus says you may pray our, because you pray to God as my Father and your Father. He is our Father through me. You can see every time that when the Pharisees too were talking about manna, bread that fell from heaven, Jesus continually drawing the attention to Himself. And that's what He wants us to do too. So every time we eat bread, that's one of the most basic daily foods. We should be reminded not of something feeding the body, but we should think of bread, and it should also cause us to think about the Lord Jesus. He said that, I am the bread of life. So that's something to think about. Our bread. So in other words, in one way we have a certain right to it if we're a believer. Without using the word entitlement, because the word entitlement is negative. In the way if we do it in unbelief, as an unbeliever. But as a believer, we have a sense of entitlement because all that Christ has is ours. So we may have every expectation and come to Him expectantly, trusting that He will give what we need, not only individually, but also as a people, as a group, as a family, as a church, as it was in Israel, as a nation, as the people of God. So today as the people of God, the church of the New Testament. Our bread. It's interesting, I already mentioned earlier that this Lord's Prayer is all in the plural. Our. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. So the Lord did provide for them in the wilderness. There's a parallel between how God gave manna, which is bread. It looked like bread when they baked it. And so in the New Testament, Jesus made, out of a few loaves, He fed 5,000 plus people. But all of that was to point not just to that bread that eats, that's for the body. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy. So God always, when he fed them, when he cared for them, he did a lot of times in pictures. So we can identify with, even children can understand. If you look, for example, at 1 Corinthians 10, it's a beautiful example where God took care of his people, where it says that he fed them manna from the skies and water from the rock which followed them. The rock was Christ. Well, Christ hadn't yet even been born. Yet in the Old Testament, he was already following them, giving them water, giving them bread. But then the sad thing was, and that's written for our warning, we read in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6, a solemn word. So that it's not to be seen as just a history of the past, but it pertains to us today. We read, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Because they didn't acknowledge God. And then that's why we read it for 6. Now these things were our examples. Paul writes to the Corinthians, to us. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things. As they also lusted. So it was their sin that they would consume these things upon their lusts. Just like James warns us against in James chapter 4. Consume it upon ourselves. Forget to acknowledge God and thank him. Sometimes even thinking that we accomplish it ourselves. It's an offense to God. That's why the Jews in Moses' days, as well as in Jesus' days, had the same intent, the same focused on this daily bread, on the daily stuff, and there was nothing wrong with it in and of itself. But if you do not acknowledge God for that, then it becomes, what was good for us, becomes a curse to us. And Jesus says to them, when they compare him with Moses, so Moses said this, so what do you do? What sign can you do? And then he says, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Do you notice the shift? There's a threefold shift in this. I'll read it once again and see if you can catch it. He said, Moses gave you not dead bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. A shift from Moses to my Father, which is of course through the gift, which he is himself. That's one shift. But did you also notice that it goes from past tense to present tense? He's directing their attention from what happened in the past to what's happening right now. He says, Moses gave you not that bread, but my Father giveth, present tense, you this bread. And of course, a few moments later, he says, I am that bread. So don't stare on what Moses did. Moses didn't do anyway. Anyway, God did, my Father did. And right now he's giving you the true bread. So not that bread, but this bread. The true bread. The bread that you should be considering when you hold a piece of bread in your hands. You can see how offensive it was, how great ungrateful these people were with manna. They complained about that manna. Remember that? Well, maybe we do not dare to complain that loud. Or so maybe sometimes children, you have complained about food. Or all the ones too, you didn't really like it much. God is offended when we do that. So the Lord Jesus fed the people with bread, and really that's how this comes all about, right? Because we just read that the people came after Jesus. They were seeking Jesus, and he says, well, here you seek me, not because of the miracles, but because of the loaves. The 5,000 plus people that received all this food. So what way do we acknowledge him then? Not only by giving thanks with our words, but also with our actions. So when we pray, we should not only pray daily for our fatherly provision, expectantly to receive it, but also diligently to use it. the strength and the energy we have to do that. So we have to pray daily, expectantly, but also diligently, repeatedly, day by day. Which is the second point. This connection between our daily bread and our daily work is very clearly made also in this catechism, Lord's Day 50. Because it says that we would acknowledge Him to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry — the word industry is simply like work, we know the word industry, to be industrious is to work hard. Industries, you have all kinds of industries in town. It means there's all kind of work available to be done. So we must acknowledge God as our Father to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. So in other words, all of that, even when we pray for it and thank Him for it, that's all words and good. But it fails then even also if it doesn't produce the actions that are needed to honor God and acknowledge Him, that we use the energy for His glory. It doesn't say that it cannot profit us. It doesn't just say that all these things cannot profit us, period. But without His blessing it cannot. Without His blessing, which we obtain when we acknowledge Him in gratitude. So this is not just about praying for our daily bread. It's also about thanking Him for our daily bread in words and actions. Diligently, expectantly, diligently. So it doesn't say it cannot profit us, period. But not profit us without His blessing. Like Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build us. Now that doesn't mean that the people are not building it. They are. And yet it says the Lord build it. It's the same thing. It doesn't tell us to not build a house, but not build it without the Lord, without God. So we must build, but we must do it prayerfully. We must pray, but we must also build, work. Pray and work. Word and deed. Talk and walk. Belongs together. That's why God gave us that bread, so that we could carry on. So we ask for forgiveness. Pursue forgiveness. That we would be not led into temptation, but delivered from all evil. We need strength for that. So God doesn't just give us the bread just to give it. He gives that to us so that He would show how we appreciate it. So our duty to pray for our daily bread does not take away the duty to work. We cannot just sit at a table altogether and pray for our daily bread and just wait for the Lord to come raining down like it did in the Old Testament. We're clearly called to work. It says neither our care nor industry, nor even God's gifts can profit us without God's blessing. It doesn't mean that we don't care. Of course we do. We do care. We must be diligent, but not with worries and anxiety. We heard that last time. To not be anxious, but with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. To cast our cares on Him while we care. So we must care. We must do the right things. But looking to God, who gave us food to give the energy, so that He will also continue to do so. Give us this day our daily bread, every day, day by day. Wherever we are called to work, whatever our chores are, whatever our daily work is. But we should not get so wrapped up in it that we forget the Lord. So we must pray for our daily bread. Because if you don't eat, we can't work. It's simple. You can maybe last a couple days if you don't eat, but you get weaker over time. So it's spiritually. You will continue for a while, But if you don't feed on the word of God, the bread of life, and drink from the water of life, you might coast a little, but you get stuck one of these days because you haven't got the energy. That's the picture. And of course, on the other side, Paul makes it also clear that in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, he says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. It's going back and forth. You need food in order to work. But then you need to work also to get food. And if you don't work, if you're lazy, you have no entitlement at all, no matter how much you pray. It's ora et labora. Pray and work. It's a well-known Latin saying, ora et labora. And it's interesting that in the word labora is the word ora as well. Pray and prayerfully work. Diligently, industriously, carefully. So it's clear our prayers alone will not bring bread on the table. Neither our care or industry by itself. You can work hard, you can carefully do everything, and you can still lose money. You can lose your resources. I just read the other day that in Northern California, 13,000 homes were burned. I cannot even imagine. 13,000 homes. 13 homes already is quite a bit. 1,300. 13,000. And there's still, I don't know how many people missing. These people maybe had stored all kinds of stuff in their houses. Lost it all. So whatever our care and our industry and our labors and prayers are, if we do not see God's blessing in it, to be diligent in not only prayer but also making use of these energies and the gifts that God has given you, because every gift is God's gift. That's why it says not even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. The gifts alone will not profit us without having been used in the right way. It's very clear that the question is not whether or not these things are God's gifts. They are. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. So every gift is God's good gift, because he's a fountain, overflowing fountain of all good. Nothing but good. So everything that he comes and that he gives to us is good. Of course, that's so often what we question in our mind. You think, if only this was be better or that be better, then every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. So the real question is not whether or not these are good gifts. They are. But what we do with it. How we use them. You know, we're so prone to think that when we prosper that God is with us. And we don't prosper, we think that God is not with us. So contrary, aren't we? The point is, what is our aim in all this? What do we look for? You see, it's very clear, I mentioned already, what leads up to this text. When they came to the Lord Jesus and they were seeking him, but he exposes them for their low sight, their low view. He says, you're only looking for the things here to get your body filled, your appetites fulfilled. He says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perishes. The word meat can be translated as food or bread or provision. Labor not for that because it's perishing, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. You see, he constantly looks away from the stuff. He looks away from Moses, from the law, to the gospel, to him, to himself. He does it all the time, every time. How he meets with people, when he directs their attention away from whatever it is on their mind, to him. And he's still doing that today. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. And they still don't get it, and we are by nature not getting it either. So how do they respond They say, "Oh, Lord, give us that meat. What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" You see what kind of mode they're in? They think that they have to do something in order to work these works that are pleasing to God. They're in the earning mode, in the works mode. Do this. But the Lord says, no, it's a grace mode. It's a free gift mode. He answers that. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. You might do the work that's pleasing to God. Believe on Him whom He has sent. Again, directing them from the Father, from Moses, from their physical needs to Himself. He does it all the time. Even way before He said, "I am that bread." Believe on Him whom He has sent. And of course, that's exactly what they didn't want to do, because they realized who He was speaking about. They knew that. You read it several times that they knew what He was saying, what He meant. Moses contrasted with Jesus. So they divert again their attention away from Him to Moses. They said, "What sign do you show that we may see and believe you? What do you work? What's your work? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. He that gave him bread from heaven to eat." So they say, okay, they had the audacity to not only misinterpret Jesus, but also come asking for a sign when He had just fed 5,000 plus people with bread and fish. And then even make it look as if Moses did it. No, it wasn't Moses. My father did. And stop thinking about what He did then. Think about what He's doing right now, here, also with us today. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread. You see what He's doing, the shift from works to grace, from earning to receiving, from paying for it to receive it for nothing. By grace, through faith. Of course, that's not to deny the works. They must be praying and working diligently, but in that order. Not by works. Ephesians 2 is very plain on that. Lest anyone should boast. But not without works either. By grace, through faith, not of works, not by means of works to obtain it, to earn it, yet unto good works. So not by works, not even by faith plus works, but simply, and I repeat that, by faith that works. Paul writes in Philippians 12:13, work out. It doesn't say work your own salvation, but work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works it in you, both to will and to do. And again, of His good pleasure. It's His good will that we should do that. Work out that which God works in. And it's really like the working in is not only spiritual, but even physical. God works in us. He brings food in us so that we work out His works. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, if you think about it? So praying daily for our fatherly provision, expectantly, diligently, but also third, humbly. Expectantly, diligently, humbly. So the one hand, I said there was an entitlement, we may say our bread, but that should never be a bold entitlement. It's always humbly, a humble approach. The people tried to contrast Moses with Jesus, as if there was a contrast. There isn't. It's not a battle between faith and works. It's a battle between the order of things. Faith preceding work. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we often are the same way. In subtle ways. We wouldn't do that as boldly perhaps as they do it. But in subtle ways we do. Sometimes we pray, but then we don't follow up with thanksgiving and using the gifts in the service of God. Using them, but not in the service of God. not for his glory, but for our own glory, our own praise, consuming it upon our own lusts. Or we do it without prayer. We're just going to do better. When we realize we've sinned, our impulse is to promise God to do better. Instead of first confessing our sins and putting our trust in Christ and trusting that the Holy Spirit in us will help us to do better. Pray and work. Give thanks and work. Use the blessings in such a way that they are pleasing to God and to other people and to ourselves. They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You see the subtle deceit and the pride of our heart and mind. We seek to do it in our own strength. We always say this is kind of a natural default position, not just only in the unbeliever, but too often in the believer too. Have patience, Lord, I will pay thee what I owe thee. I'll do better. Of course, we must promise that. But upon repentance, upon faith, in that order, we're too often also in the earning mode instead of the receiving mode, the works frame of mind instead of in the grace frame of mind. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, expectantly, diligently, but also humbly. Because that's how the catechism ends, there, the last part. Therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures. That includes self. Have no more trust in self and say, Lord, I'll do better. I'll work harder. Withdraw trust from all creatures, that includes self, and place it alone in thee. Alone in thee, not in a bank account. And that doesn't mean that you can't save. Of course we can and we must, for a rainy day. But don't put that trust in there. God can empty that account in a jiffy. He wants us to trust in him. There's so many things that we can, in a subtle way, put our trust in. But that we would withdraw our trust from all creatures. All creatures, it's all people, but also all things. Anything that's created. Alone, indeed. That means exclusively. From all human institutions. To not put our trust in man, but in God, who gives all things. How often do we promise things, or are we promised to that people will do certain things and it doesn't happen? We forget. We sometimes promise easily but have no intentions to come through on it. As people, we disappoint each other. We deceive each other, sadly. Not so with God. Or maybe we promise but we don't have the power or the means to help. Not so with God. Because he has both all power and he's all good. Imagine if you'd be all good and having not the power. Suppose he had be having all the power but he's not good. Both of them are impossible. But he has both. All power, all good. All the means to provide, of course, what we need. Where we then at the end, sometimes when we pray for things, not my will, but thy will be done. But if we pray for the things we truly need, and the Bible is clear on those things that are needs are mostly for the soul, although the body he will give too, but we know that the body one day will die. You may pray for healing, and God will grant it. Or not, but he will give the grace to carry us through. It says delight. To provide for unworthy sinners, as we all are. So clear from the fourth petition, as part of the perfect prayer. Why did Jesus teach us to pray like this? Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And isn't that the purpose of that, simply to draw us close to him? close to his Father through him, to trust him alone for all things, for time, for eternity, for body, for soul. Isn't that how we find him in our text? Very present help in time of need. When God ordained all things to happen, before we call, he answers. You don't have to persuade him. Verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread. The true bread. To rebels, to sinners. And much more than bread. He provides all to sustain life. Jesus speaks about comparing dead bread with the true bread. Moses, my Father did it already. Even dead bread. But look to me now. The true bread. My Father gives the true bread from heaven. And that bread not only supports life, like daily bread does support life, right? You must eat in order to live, to keep on living. Otherwise, you will die if you don't eat. But this bread not only supports life, but gives life. Did you notice that? Verse 33. It gives life. It quickens. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Of course, in a sense, the bread you eat gives life too. But not initially. It supports life. But Jesus, the bread of life, gives life and supports it both. That's why we must pray daily. Give us this day our daily bread. For far too long I prayed this prayer only for bread that we eat. But now, already for a while, whenever I think about that sentence, give us this day our daily bread, I think about it also as the bread of life. I can't separate the two anymore because it's been so glued together. Give us this day bread. Give me this day a portion of thy word, Lord, to read, to meditate, to reflect, to eat. It's like food for the soul. Bread of life. It's like water for the soul. And when the Jews hear that, they say, oh Lord, evermore give us this bread. Not that bread, but this bread. I don't know if they fully realize what they're asking for. They may well be thinking, oh yeah, that's nice, then I'm done. If I eat that bread, I'm done. I have life. Evermore give us this bread. I don't know if they understand. That's why he probably says even more plainly, in plain simple words, if you still don't get it, okay, he says in verse 34, 35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So coming to is compared to eating the bread. Coming to Jesus is eating the word of God. Coming to Jesus is drinking the water of life. That's the food we need, just as much, if not more, than the food that we feed in the mouth. So how hungry and thirsty are you? Really, to come for this petition. How often have you too prayed this petition just for the bread you eat with your mouth? For the Lord Jesus makes the connection. The scriptures make the connection very clearly. The rock was Christ. The bread is Christ. We need to nourish him. He did the same with the woman at the well. You recall in John 4. Where she was asked to give Jesus some water. But then when Jesus says, talking about the living water. And she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. But the point is very clear. What he says, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. He's just reinforcing what he already said earlier. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. When they try to divert this way, that way, he makes it very, I am, look to me. I am the bread of life. And of course, he said it in such a way that they realized that it was more than a mere man speaking in front of them. He said several times the I am phrase, that they realized that he was identifying himself with Yahweh, his father. I and my father are one, he said in another part. They took stones, ready to stone him, but it wasn't yet his time. So the Lord Jesus continues to set himself before them and before us every time when the word is preached. Every time when you read the word. Actually, when we, no matter what we read, where we read it, every time we hear it, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. You don't come to me, but I come to you. I go even after wayward sheep. Maybe you've come here to worship today. But maybe just go through the motions. And God is still coming to such ones who are not really seeking Jesus. He was seeking them. In the end of days, they and we have no excuse. He came for us. The gospel is freely offered for all to hear and to believe. What must we do to be saved? What must we do to work the works of God? Believe on me, Jesus says. And then they say they'd like to have it, but then Jesus goes on to say, but I say to you that you all have seen me and believe not. This is the same as we read in 1 Corinthians 10. But many of them God was not well pleased. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. And then one more time he offers salvation to them. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, verse 37, I will in no wise cast out. All that cometh to me. All who comes to me. If you read John 15 too, later on he comes back to that time and again in his gospel. About the branches and the vine. And about abiding in him. How can you abide in him if you don't first come in him? Abiding in it is mean. Jesus makes it very plain when he says in John 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Such a complete, it's almost like a blank check. But if you abide in him, and if you abide in the word, we will more and more learn how to pray well. What to ask for, what not to ask for. The more familiar we are with the word of God, the more we will be able to pray as we should pray. Even with a simple petition. And the order, maybe now you begin to understand why the give us this day our daily bread comes before forgive us our sins. And before deliver us from evil. Because we could not pray rightly, forgive us our sins or deliver us from evil. We wouldn't understand if we have to first feed on the bread of life. This petition is way richer than praying for a slice of bread every day. It's much more profound if you read the rest of Scripture with it. As you daily ask for a daily bread, let's do that expectantly, diligently. That means daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the day, the word day is said twice to emphasize the need for the daily approaching to the throne of grace to receive bread for the body, but also for the soul. So it's not just about the bee with the bread with a small b, but the bread with a capital B. To not only seek what we need to sustain and feed and nourish our body. We're prone to do that. We're prone to neglect our soul. Knowing that it's God's fatherly delight, his goodwill, his good pleasure to grant it freely to all who ask. That's why one of my favorite texts is John 6:37, the one I just read. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So who are those? Those are the elect. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So what's the primary, the main fruit of election? People always jump to all confessing that you believe that you're a sinner. Yeah, too. Of course. But the main thing, the main fruit, the primary fruit of election is coming to Jesus. And then finding there everything you need. Even the sorrow that you don't have by nature about your sins. Once you've come to that gratitude of being eating and drinking of the bread of life will produce a desire of gratitude to not sin and to beg for forgiveness. And realize that we have to be kept from evil, not only from the evil that comes from without, but from the evil that comes from within. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All the elect will come to me. And then people sometimes wonder if they're elect. Well, that's given in the same verse. Him who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But the very fact that you then do come proves that you're the elect, and you will therefore not be called away or sent away. You come to God pleading for this daily bread, not just for the body, but Lord, for my soul too. God says, I will not send away any one of you empty. Read a few more verses. If you read the remaining verses of the chapter, you'll see how he keeps saying the same thing. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him who comes to me, anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen.